Don't you deserve a Medicare plan you can count on? Well, you can count on a Medicare Advantage plan from UnitedHealthcare. Enjoy reliable coverage and low out-of-pocket costs with a Medicare Advantage plan from UnitedHealthcare. And if you have a chronic condition like diabetes, chronic heart failure, or a cardiovascular disorder, you may qualify for a UnitedHealthcare Complete Care plan with plans that fit your life today and as your needs change tomorrow. Find out more about UnitedHealthcare plans at uhc.com/Medicare.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
You don't need to fight anymore. You have proven everything you need to prove.
What, that I can get beat up easy and then quit? It's not balance. It's not real kung fu. You said that when life knocks you down, you can choose whether or not to get back up. Well, I'm trying to get back up, and why won't you help me?
Because I cannot watch you get hurt anymore.
Please, Masahiro. Please.
Just tell me, Xiaojun, why? Why you need to go back out there so badly?
Because I'm still scared. No matter what happens, tonight, when I leave, I don't want to be scared anymore.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm Jason.
And I'm Richard.
And I'm Rima.
And I'm Alex.
Alex is actually here, and this is Cobra Kai Cast.
This week, we're covering the 2010 reboot of The Karate Kid.
That we are. Welcome, Alex. I'm glad we're able to make this work because you, Alex, left some great calls. You might recognize his voice with some fun Cobra Kai spinoff ideas, and also has been co-hosting our coverage of The Walking Dead, Dead City, which is the Negan and Maggie Walking Dead spinoff with Ben Beck over on the Cast of Us. And I usually like to ask people who are guesting just what their history is with Karate Kid and Cobra Kai and all that.
So history with, you know, Karate Kid, grew up a child of the 90s. So it was right up there with, you know, Mighty Ducks, Three Ninjas, all of those fun, kitschy kids films. I know it was a little bit earlier in the 80s, but always loved it, always resonated. I was one of those always followed whatever Ralph Macchio did from there. And then when I heard that they rebooting,
yeah.
right. But we'll always have my cousin Vinny.
Yeah, that's right.
And then when I saw the episode of How I Met Your Mother, where Barney is explaining how William Zabka's character was actually the good guy in the movie and Ralph Macchio was the bad guy.
Right.
I thought, hang on now. That's a hell of a concept.
That's bullshit.
That's a hell of a concept, though. That's something I'd like to go down. So then I found out they were building an entire show around it. And I was like, all right, I'm in. And I would like to tell you that I was dedicated enough to get YouTube Red or whatever it was called. I was not. I waited till Netflix, but I've been diehard ever since.
That's cool.
Nice.
Right on. I guess I did get YouTube Red, probably just for that. Yeah. Luckily, it was good. Well, that's pretty cool. So we're covering this, you know, 2010 Karate Kid movie, mostly because Jackie Chan's character, Mr. Han, is going to be in the upcoming Karate Kid Legends movie, which comes out like in a few days this Friday. It also stars Ralph Macchio as Daniel. And so we're going to cover that. So we thought, hey, let's cover this other movie that the guy's in, that one of the guys is in. And I think after that, after we cover this and Karate Kid Legends, we'll have covered pretty much everything Karate Kid, except for like the 80s Saturday morning cartoon and like a couple of music videos that the character showed up in. We're not going to cover any of those. So anyway, we've got most of it.
Yeah, like 90% of it, huh?
That's right.
Yeah.
Are there any comic books? Did anybody make a comic book of the Karate Kid?
I don't know, actually. I was going to say probably, but I feel like I would know about that, so maybe not. Some novelizations, maybe? We could do a book club.
Like they make a comic book of anything that's successful nowadays.
I think there were some video games. I think there was even a Cobra Kai video game.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Didn't look that good to me.
If I remember correctly, the gameplay wasn't there. It was just a cheap Street Fighter knockoff.
Yeah.
That would make sense.
So I'm going to imagine that all three of you have seen this movie before prepping for this, right? Or was this the first time for anyone?
First for me.
I saw it when it first came out, yeah.
Okay, this was the first time I'd ever watched it was yesterday, and the third time I ever watched it was this morning. So I'm excited to dive into this because I remember when it initially came out, I was very much, I feel like reboot culture wasn't what it is now back in 2010 when it originally
came
out.
All culture is reboot culture now, yeah.
Amen. But back then they hadn't quite figured out how to do it correctly. And I remember just thinking to myself, I'm not going to waste time going seeing that movie. I've got the original. Why do I need to see this one?
Yeah, I saw it when it came out and I think just the once, and now I watched it two more times to get ready for this. It's a long movie.
I don't think I'll watch it again. It's really a long movie. There's easily 20 to 30 minutes you could cut out of this thing.
Totally.
Yeah, totally. Well, before we get into it, Alex, would you like to read the plot summary?
I would be ecstatic. All right. After moving to Beijing with his mother, 12-year-old Dre Parker struggles to adjust to a new culture and quickly becomes the target of a local bully skilled in kung fu. He finds comfort in a budding friendship with Mei Ying, a violin prodigy, but their bond draws more unwanted attention. Dre finds an unexpected mentor in Mr. Han, a maintenance man and kung fu master, who teaches him that through strength comes from inner peace, balance, and discipline. Through intense training and personal growth, Dre prepares to face his rival in a martial arts tournament, ultimately earning respect and proving himself through courage and perseverance.
That was the AI version.
Yes, it was.
Oh, yeah.
It got the job done.
It was pretty good, I thought.
Honestly, it's a reboot of the 1980s classic. That's really all you need.
Yeah, really. That's all you need to know. It's all the same thing. Well, Alex, in general, what did you think about it?
I am conflicted. So knowing the original story and feeling how much of this was, in a lot of ways, a beat-for-beat representation, and so much of the time I was thinking to myself, do you want to be a repackaging of the original story, or do you want to be your own thing? You can be both, but I feel like it straddles that line the entire movie and never really decides what it's going to be. I see the bones of a good movie in there. I really do. I see a really good movie with really good performances, but I felt like the final product wasn't what I was hoping it could have been.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Rima? First time seeing it?
Yeah. It was okay. You know,
You didn't hate it?
I'm just kind of in the middle about it. You know, I didn't love it. I didn't think it was like, you know, a great masterpiece by any means, but I didn't hate it. You know, I didn't think it was terrible. And even though I didn't watch it when it originally came out, I do remember just hearing some like not great reviews about it that, you know, it seemed like there were at least loud voices. You know, I didn't hear the positives. I probably heard more of the negative, which I think kind of happens still even today, you know, more of the negative. Nothing specific, just that it just wasn't very good. They didn't think that it lived up like to the original, you know, things like that. So I was like, well, I'm not gonna, you know, I guess watch it at that time or whatever. So so it was fine. I didn't think it was bad or anything like that. Just, you know, maybe wasn't worth the hype. And again, like you were saying, Alex, I think it was a little too long. I think there was quite a bit that they probably could have shaved off there in the time, but it wasn't bad. It was okay.
It has a fresh rating on Rotten Tomatoes, but just barely. It's like 60 something, you know, so not great.
It's meh.
It's solidly meh. Rich.
I'm going to go with the status quo. It wasn't horrible. I felt it was way too slow, though, like we're saying in many parts, especially like the first third of the movie. I was getting kind of bored, but I felt the acting was pretty good, except for Jaden, who's the title character. So, but I mean, he's like 11, so, you know, no harm, no foul.
Yeah.
To sum up, I think I would have enjoyed the movie more if I was like 12.
Yeah.
I think it's a total, you know, I think that's the target audience. So.
I'm going to play it for my kids.
I watched it with Bodie. He was 8 and he, you know, he's YouTube generation. So his attention span is pretty lax. And he was saying, oh, can I go do something else a couple of times? And I said, no. But I mean, he got through the whole thing and he was really into it by the end. So by the end, I think that's saying something.
Yeah, I do think.
I mean, by the end, it's a rave.
I wrote down here, it's not awful.
And scene.
Podcast scene. Over.
No. It does have its moments. And it just, like what you're saying, Alex, really hits on it for me. Like it feels like they're like, okay, let's remake Karate Kid. What can we keep? You know, and what do we need to change? Let's change the location and change the character. So, Will Smith is in on this movie. So it was really became a star vehicle, quote unquote, for his kid, Jaden. Yeah. And,
and you can tell.
Yeah, you can tell. But then like it felt a bit paint by numbers, a lot of it. It didn't have its own soul. In fact, it felt a little soulless the whole time, a little too safe. In fact, I thought back at the time, hey, they're in China. This is Kung Fu. Call it the Kung Fu Kid. That seems like a little thing, but it really bothers me. And I know that that means there's a lack of courage and spirit for it because they wanted to make sure to capture the Karate Kid audience, which is understandable, but that means the movie doesn't feel honest in and of itself. I mean, that just not changing the title is sort of a symbol for everything that's not great about the movie. And like some movies that are remakes are even better than the original, in my opinion. Like A Star Is Born is one that came to mind with Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper. I like that better than the Kris Kristofferson one. Who was the, was it Betty? Oh, I forgot who the woman was in that one. But anyway.
Barbra Streisand,
that's right. Or I think of the song, I Think We're Alone Now, which was a reboot or, you know, a remake, a cover. I will never stop being an 80s kid. But anyways, it just didn't quite capture the magic of the original. And then I think about Cobra Kai, which had so much courage because it didn't even have Karate Kid in the name. It was named after the bad guys and it switched up the formula, modernized it, recontextualized it, showed different perspectives, even changed the tone, but it still, like, you really felt the spirit of the original movies in it, and it had its own soul, man. It was its own thing. So
yeah, even with all the everything that
this wasn't, yeah
so consistent, it was great.
Yeah, that said, we're going to talk about it, and there were things to like, you know. And
no, absolutely.
No, there were. Yeah,
100% totally. Yes, Jaden is charming. I mean,
yeah,
Jaden Smith is a charming dude. I felt that his scenes with Jackie were some of his best, and his scenes with Taraji were really good as well. I thought that the love story was where his acting kind of fell apart in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's a pretty good actor for an 11-year-old kid.
Yes, you know? Absolutely, yes.
He was well-directed, I think, also. Yeah. So, yeah, like you said earlier, it didn't have much of a soul, the movie. I kind of felt that way about his acting. It just felt more, manufactured than natural, you know.
Yeah,
like his dad was, hey, let's do another one, and be cool if you did this, and you gave that stupid look on your face, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I get that, but I felt like, honestly, love Jackie Chan, but his performance was weird in this too. He felt kind of blank and dazed out half the time, or he'd just give these creepy stares, and he would just say his line, do it again, pick it up, put it back on the post. And I'm like, I don't know, man, I don't think I'm loving this. I mean, it's okay, and when he's doing his kung fu, it's totally awesome, and he did have his moments as well, but I didn't think he was any better than Jaden. That said, when he's in Karate Kid Legends, I hope he's just as weird, because I just want to see how that plays with Daniel. Maybe you guys don't agree. What do you think about his performance?
I thought that when they let him be the Jackie Chan we all love. A little bit of levity and a little bit of badass is when he was at his very best. Yeah. But when they were trying to get like it, so it's really funny you say that, because I figured I thought so much of his performance reminded me of Pedro Pascal as Joel in The Last of Us, just not as good. Like just the way he carried himself, the looks on his face and everything. It just it read very Joel to me, but a shadow of it. And I couldn't agree with you more. And I feel like from the previews we've seen of Legends, it's going to be more of that wisecracking Jackie Chan, which I really hope that's what we get.
What did you two think of his performance?
Well, again, trying to think of how I want to word it. I hear what you're saying, and I don't disagree. But I think that for me, it made a little more sense with how he was coming across as the character for Mr. Han. He's a lot more subdued and introverted. I think he's carrying these deep wounds. You know, when we learn what happened to his family, I think he's, you know, carrying around this heavy guilt, you know, for what had happened, and he's feeling responsible. And he's, you know, he's not trying to be like a legend or a leader. He's just trying to survive his own trauma. And I feel like that's what comes across in his performance. Because I feel like throughout this whole journey, as he does decide to take Dre on as a student and teach him Kung Fu, it's a process, and it heals them both. You know, he's helping Dre go through his journey and kind of heal. Yeah. And I think it's also Mr. Han. He's also, as he's teaching Dre, it's this mutual healing process.
Yeah. You said it taught him to get back up after you get knocked down, that whole thing.
Yeah.
So I think that, I mean, it would have been, I think, a little nicer to see him be a little bit more, I don't know, like a weight had been lifted there, maybe at the end, you know, because he still seemed very subdued.
To me, it just seemed like he was on some heavy antidepressant drugs, and his personality just wasn't coming through.
I mean, I think his character needed it. Yeah, he was going through it.
Yeah, I liked his performance. I thought it was pretty good. I did write down that I felt like maybe he was overacting a bit, you know, to our point here. But everything about him was, you know, just a man that's been defeated or deflated. I mean, the poor guy, even his posture, I wrote something down about how his posture is always like sunken chest, head, chin down, you know, that kind of stuff.
But it's just weird for someone who's like that down to, it didn't seem like he, like when Dre said, you know, he suggested, like Miyagi did, you should talk to your teacher. And Dre said, you come with me. And he's all, no, I can't do that. And Dre's like, fine, and walked off. It, to me, what felt believable for him to do is be like, good, get out of here. Instead, he's like, oh, no, wait. And that just didn't feel right with how he was acting. Like, he just didn't seem like he was inspired yet. And then the whole thing, I realize I'm just saying a lot of negative so far, but the whole thing with him beating up his car and then building it up every year and then beating it up again, I guess, on the anniversary of when the accident happened, and then the just breaking down in front of Dre and all that, it just felt like a shoehorned in piece of melodrama. I hate to say that because I know you really want to feel something at that part, but it just felt like a cookie cutter thing that a writer wrote and not something I was actually feeling much about.
I thought, so, you know, the beating up the car part was one that when I first saw it, I thought, wow, this is a great metaphor for like a Sisyphus problem. Like, you, every year for your personal penance, you're going to restore this car, and on the anniversary of the crash, beat the hell out of it and then do it all over again. For whatever reason, I don't know, that's part of the broken psyche, but I did think it was a very interesting metaphor for what he just constantly was going through. And then Dre pulling him out of that stupor and showing him that being a teacher is kind of a way for him to release that, and reminding him
that was cool,
that Kung Fu is what gets us through everything. I thought that was really powerful. And it was definitely 2010 Oscar bait. That is 100% why they put that scene in there. But I don't know. I thought the shadow scene was really, really moving.
Well, let's go into like normal points. Alex, did you prepare some? Do you want to go first?
No, I'm going to let you guys go first, and then I'm going to flow in on fourth.
Okay. Rima, why don't you go first?
Well, I want to talk, because I do want to try to focus on more of the positive things. You know, we've talked about some of the negative things, and we might have more, but, you know, just to talk about some of the things that I did like, and that was the location. You know, I did like the locations, you know, in Beijing, and we got some other parts of China as well, and we got to see some, you know, Chinese landscapes, some art, architecture, and some of the daily life, you know, there. We had some great mountain scenes. We got the Great Wall. I loved the contrast between the city life, you know, the these dense spaces, crowded apartments, schoolyards, you know, and then we get the other scenes where they're these big, beautiful, peaceful, spacious places like the mountains. I thought were beautiful. I thought the training sequences where they have these beautiful wide shots, you know, you really just, it was just beautiful to look at. You know, it was just so majestic. You know, I love anywhere that there's mountains. I just, you know, I'm just completely engrossed, you know, in the scenery. So when we get that in a movie, you know, I thought they just did a great job with the cinematography where we get to see this, you know, majesty, but in combined with the mountains and the landscape, there was this beautiful spiritual tradition of all of it too. And I liked how they incorporated that with, you know, some of the training and the lessons that Dre was learning, you know, the history of, you know, Kung Fu and what it means to the people, you know, I thought was great. So I liked that. I liked that, you know, the blending of the two worlds, the urban landscapes, and then these beautiful nature and mountains and peace. And I thought all of that was really, really great. And I liked that.
It was.
Yeah.
I think I would say it's the most beautiful of all the Karate Kid movies. I mean, there's definitely beautiful shots in all of them, especially Karate Kid 2. But I think I would say this one was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the technology these days compared to the 80s of being able to capture that beauty in real time definitely helps. And I thought the temple was amazing. Mm-hmm. I thought the entire walk up that mountain, you really felt the steepness and you felt how long that was. And then every scene of the students felt so cool. It was like I was playing Final Fantasy VII. I just got to Wutai. Like, it was a really, really enjoyable scene and just vibe the whole time they were there.
Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely. In fact, that was my point too. Almost word for word, Rima. Good job.
I wrote it like halfway through the movie. Next time.
So far, this is the best part of the movie is that it was filmed in China. I bet it was magnificent on the big screen. But yeah, man, you can't fake any of the stuff they showed you in that. You know, everything looked definitely the part. I mean, you can't fake that kind of age, that kind of spirituality, and that kind of architecture. You know, you can't, even with the AI stuff that they use now, I don't think you could fake that. The Kung Fu Master and the Cobra scene on that mountain temple.
Oh, yeah.
You mean the one that was using the crane technique to master the Cobra.
Yes. Yeah, mesmerizing the Cobra. Gorgeous views. I mean, the way they filmed that and the angles that they got on that, my goodness. And then what was another? Mr. Han's courtyard. I thought it was courtyard there. It was a nice little personal sanctuary in this busy town, you know. It's just looked like, you know, that's where his life is now. It had all this stuff in there. The street scenes, you know, are super busy and fantastic. So much to look at. Yeah, I think for me, that was probably, besides, you know, some of the kung fu fighting, was the best part of the movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Well, I have a list of things I liked better than the original Karate Kid movie.
Nice.
One is that Dre feels even more out of place going from Detroit to China than Daniel did going from Jersey to LA. More of a culture shock, you know.
For
his,
sure.
His age is one part of it, but also just the language barrier, things like him not being able to use chopsticks, which is, that's a tough situation for a kid. You can't eat, you know. So it was really nice that his little girlfriend helped him out there. But her strict parents, like the emphasis on the importance of focusing on being successful with kids and being really strict with kids is a very Asian thing, because there's no safety net and parents put a lot of pressure on their kids to succeed, in part because the kids are going to need to take care of the parents when they get older.
Right.
And you see things like this kid playing piano in one of the music scenes. you know, he was just a virtuoso and he looks like he's about 9 years old or something, maybe 12. It just shows the high expectation for kids. That's also, there's just this cultural value rooted in Confucianism, which is about discipline, hard work, and honoring the family, but it's just permeates the culture. So that's something that's different for Dre to experience going over there. But despite being in this unfamiliar place with a different language and everything I just talked about, I like that he's just this plucky kid who's just like, yeah, he doesn't want to be there, but he's going to make the best of it. He's going to put himself out there. He's going to go play sports. He's going to start breakdancing in front of this girl he wants to impress. You know, I admire that about him. When they saw the Kung Fu students, when he saw them all practicing it, with hundreds of them spread out in formation in all their red suits and moving perfectly in sync, I thought that was like so much more majestic than just going to the Cobra Kai studio. And
it was,
you know, it was impression. Amazing. And the music was really good there too. And then you see the adults just going. And I mean, I just love watching Kung Fu, you know, it's more
beautiful
than karate. Yeah. Honestly,
I like it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like a dance. What else that Mei Ying plays violin. I thought that was a really cool addition because you get to hear some beautiful music and it's just a nice little touch. As you guys talked about, the most beautiful scenery. What else? I like just in particular, the poster shows Dre kicking really high. He's standing on one leg with one foot up.
Yeah.
And that's a nice iconic visual of this movie. It's kind of weird that the trophy he gets at the end looks like someone took that picture and made it into a trophy. It's a little meta.
So weird how that works.
Yeah. How'd you get that done so fast? It's pretty cool. The day, that they went to the mountain and learned chi, and there were all these people up at the top who'd seemingly mastered their chi, just like standing on their knuckles or whatever, the woman that you talked about with the snake. Little far out, but pretty cool. And I just like the idea that they didn't really touch on it that much in the original Karate Kid, of your life energy, your focus, your power from within, being self-possessed, having that inner stillness and calmness to the point where you can kind of almost like people start revolving around you basically. And that was a neat thing to focus on and then to have play into the very end. I think that was kind of his crane kick. It was his inner strength, you know, and that's a really cool concept that I think Daniel could use some of that. Maybe his life would have gotten better if he got taught a little bit more of that. And then last thing, after Dre gets hurt in the tournament and Han is like, you did fine. And why do you still need to fight? And he says he wants to keep fighting because I'm still scared and I don't want to feel scared anymore. I just thought that was a better way to put it than Daniel saying, oh, I need balance. I'm never going to find balance. I mean, it's kind of the same thing because Daniel said, I don't want guys like Johnny to know they can get the best of me. But just saying, I don't want to be scared of these guys anymore. That was like a good way to like, yeah, okay, good point here. Let's go do it.
So this is what helps with that is that Dre's not a hothead the way that Daniel was, you know, like Dre's got a little bit of spunk in him, but Daniel definitely had that little, not like anger, aggression, but he had that hotheadedness that Dre is really just an overmatched kid that's super out of his element.
Yeah. And Dre was not going out to like antagonize the bullies. Like he definitely went out of his way to try to, you know, like he's hiding behind corners and. Well, I didn't
really. Threw a bucket of water at him.
I mean, the most disgusting water in the world is air conditioner runoff. That is so much worse than those.
When you did that, so I'm watching it with Bodhi, who's 8, as I said, and you know, I'm making a list of a lot of the things that are the similar, and I kind of stopped after a while because I'm like, there's so many things. It's a remake. But anyway, when that happened, it of course made me think of Daniel pouring water on Johnny's head in the bathroom because that was what that was meant to. And I remember you guys were pretty critical of Daniel for that, which I can understand. But anyway, we were watching that scene. He throws the water on him from the bucket and Bodhi just put his hands over his face and goes, he's so stupid. Why did he do that?
Awesome. Yes.
Not wrong.
Poked the bear.
I was kind of surprised. He's only 8. He's starting to get a little bit smarter.
I understand. By the way, I wrote somewhere in my notes, Jason, that I thought Chang kind of looked like an older version of Bodhi. A little bit.
Oh, yeah, maybe so. Well, while we're talking about Bodhi, so it's just me and him because Jenny and Nico are out of town this weekend. And he has been in Chinese immersion school since kindergarten. And my subtitles were a little off on this one, or sometimes they weren't showing up, and he was translating some of the Chinese for me. He could pick out little words, and not like whole big sentences, but like, for example, when Dre gets chased by the kids and gets backed into a dead end and they beat him up a little bit, and then all of a sudden Mr. Han shows up and puts a stop to it, and he said something to the kids, and I'm like, what did he say? And Bodhi's like, he told him to go home. And I was like, oh, that is so cool.
That's awesome.
It's awesome.
That is amazing.
I don't know how, but I got a version of the movie that did not have subtitles. So I really felt like I was in Dre's shoes because I didn't understand what anyone else was. And again, honestly, it's enough of a beat for beat match to the movie that I felt like this is almost a more interesting way to watch it. Right. Because again, now I'm in Dre's shoes. I don't know what the hell is anyone saying about anything.
One thing, because the second time I watched, I did get the subtitles. And when they go to the school to talk to the teacher, you know, you're right. It's pretty much the same thing that, what's his name? The teacher from
Crease.
Yeah. He's like, you don't come into my dojo and drop a challenge. It was kind of similar language like that. And so anyway, yeah, I don't think you missed much, especially if you're familiar with Karate Kid.
Yeah.
Right.
Offer valid on standard browsers, U.S. only.
When I heard about Date My Age, I thought, really? But there I was in my empty, quiet house, my laptop on the kitchen counter, and I typed in my name. Looking for a man between the ages of 40 to 60? Sure, why not?
Date My Age is different. With verified profiles, you can feel safe and secure to explore meaningful connections with interesting and mature singles.
Date My Age made it really easy. I could join and view online profiles for free. All of a sudden, my empty house wasn't so quiet anymore. I got so much attention, it just made me feel seen and alive. Date My Age helped me start a totally new chapter in my life.
Find a friend, a lover, a partner at Date My Age. Get 60% off when you join at datemyage.com today. That's datemyage.com to connect with thousands of singles worldwide. datemyage.com.
So what do you got, Alex?
All right. So my big takeaway is I'm going to talk about the last 25 minutes of the movie. I want to talk about, clearly to me, the scene that was the light bulb going off for the Cobra Kai guys of like, oh my God, this is what we have to do with the show. The entire final tournament felt ripped directly out of Cobra Kai.
Yeah.
Maybe it was AC/DC. Maybe it was the Chili Peppers' Higher Ground, which like the best needle drop since it was in the movie Center Stage. But I thought that the final tournament was a really, really, really good proof of concept of what Cobra Kai was going to end up doing with it eventually. And I felt like we saw so many little nuances. I mean, for God's sake, we had Hawk. We had Hawk in the tournament.
Yeah, okay? He kept pushing his hair up like a triangle.
I loved it. I loved it. You could see.
It's a great mohawk.
I loved it to pieces. And it was so much fun to kind of see how that all went. I want to ask you guys, collectively, what do we think? Cut method, Mr. Miyagi's hands. Which one's better?
What? Wait, which one? Oh, the cups. Yeah, right.
The heated cups.
I mean, Miyagi's magic.
Right. It's got to be Miyagi. I thought that the cups just weren't as, like, it was neat, but it was nothing compared to the Miyagi magic.
Yeah. And also, it was, like, pretty lucky that he just happened to bring them to the tournament. He just carries them around just in case.
Yeah. It's I mean, alcohol on a cotton swab. That's all it is.
That's fair.
The one thing about the fighting, I agree with you, the rock and roll and just style was more dynamic and everything, but the cameras were too shaky and also too many like super close-ups that made it a little queasy to watch for me and also like a little hard to tell what was going on some of the time when I would have liked. So I think Cobra Kai actually refined it to a way that was even better, you know, but it is in the same.
You mean the fighting scenes? Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
the camera was like...
And they cut too quick. Like, they would cut before the kick or punch actually landed. I'm like, no, show it.
What are you doing?
like when he busted Dre's leg. Like, they didn't actually show him make contact with the, you saw him do this, but you didn't see the actual contact. So I was like, is that for ambiguity purposes or what?
I wonder. We also didn't see him lose. Like, I didn't, I must have missed it, but I didn't hear that guy get disqualified. Like, what exactly?
Yeah.
I know he injured his leg, but it also seemed like they were sparring. So what did he do wrong? Like, I understand, I think, in the original Karate Kid. Go ahead.
Because he didn't stop, I think.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
It was like, it was like unnecessary roughness or something. Like, you know, he's down, he's injured. You're supposed to, like, give him a chance to get up. And he just was relentless in his attack on the leg.
Need those subtitles.
That helps. yes, I do.
Was he told to do that by the sensei?
It feels like he did.
It seemed like he gave him some looks, but it wasn't as clear. You know,
kind of like
I mean,
sweep the leg. You know, yeah. It was like, I feel like he was
get him
implied that like you need to injure him, take him out. I don't know if it was because he was seeing how good the coach or their sensei was seeing how good Dre actually was, and maybe he didn't have the faith in his students to actually be able to beat him.
By points.
And it felt like he was telling him, like, injure him, either take him out or injure him enough that if he does have to go up against Chang, then, you know, he'll have one up on him because he's already hurt. That's what I took away from it. I don't know if that's.
I think that was all told more subtly than in The Karate Kid. And, you know, if we hadn't seen the original Karate Kid and we'd seen this, I think it would have come across just fine because the teacher's giving him looks and then the kid hits him in the leg really hard, kicks him, and then he looks ashamed.
Yeah.
And then he's out of commission, you know, but he comes back and then the other kid kicks him in the same spot. And after, I think he got a nod from his teacher there too. So I think it's all pretty clear, but more subtle, which I actually usually like when they don't hit you over the head with stuff like that. So maybe it's good.
I mean, it's not good sportsmanship. And I think that kid, even though they were all, you know, against Dre, they're all bullying him and stuff. They're all in on it, but it's, you know, it's not good competition. It's not good sportsmanship. You want to win and you want to be fair. You don't want to. Also, it did disqualify him, so it took out his own chance of, like, you know, moving forth throughout the competition.
Sacrifice himself.
Yeah.
All right. Who's next, Rima?
Oh goodness me. Well, this is really short and sweet, but it's more of the boys who are bullying Dre, and especially like Chang. I feel like they were a lot more brutal and vicious than Johnny and the Cobra Kai fellas in the original. You know, I know all of it was bad, but I feel like they were just a lot more relentless and didn't have a redeeming side to them. Now at the end, I guess we got a little bit of that where they were showing respect, you know, when Dre won, and respect to Mr. Han, but they were awful. And I was scared of those kids. They were very, very good. And it was also just hard watching. And I know that they were kids too. I know how old Dre was supposed to be. I don't know if I'm assuming these kids are about in the same age range, maybe a couple years older, a couple of them. And I swear, one guy had a receding hairline and was balding. Did anybody else?
I picked up on that kid, yes. Yeah, yes,
in the courtyard, you know, you mentioned Mr. Han's courtyard. There was a fella, and I'm telling you, he was balding and had a receding hairline. I'm like, how old is this guy? He's supposed to be like 12 or 13, whatever.
but it's stressful playing under new crease, I tell you.
Yeah, he's stressed out. He's losing his hair.
I mean, that's exactly how I felt about Cobra Kai and Karate Kid. No difference. You're saying they didn't have any redeeming qualities. I'm like, yeah.
Well, but I don't know. It was something about watching these kids who are in a different age group. I know that they were supposed to be kids in Karate Kid. I know they were technically older in real life,
high school,
you know, playing. But yeah. But it was different watching a teenager get beat up. Not great by any means, but it was like different watching like Daniel get beat up or something versus like an 11-year-old Dre. It was
Children
hard
of the corn
to watch
coming out.
Yeah, it was brutal. I didn't like it. You know, it was not fun to sit there and watch this kid get ganged up on and beat up by these other kids, even though they were kids too. But there was just something I thought a little bit more vicious about this group of mm-hmm. kids bullying versus the kids, teenagers that we got in Cobra Kai. They were
on the other side of the coin. It's like, you know, it was already kind of questionable when Miyagi beat up all the Cobra Kai guys. I mean, they were about to kill Daniel, but it still felt a little bit like you just beat up a bunch of kids. Now we've got Jackie Chan beating up a bunch of 12-year-olds. And I think they tried,
he beat him with their own hands.
But still, you grab a kid's hand and whack another kid with it. It's like, okay, you're hitting that other kid. I mean, you're using a kid as a weapon. It's not any better.
They were bullies. They deserved it.
They kept coming. They did.
They did.
No,
yeah,
but
that's true.
I think to an extent, part of it is because the motivation wasn't as earned in this movie as it was in the first. You understood exactly why Johnny Lawrence hated Daniel LaRusso. Mm. Furthermore, mm-hmm. Daniel actually got a sucker punch in on Johnny in that very first fight. This time, Dre just gets his ass kicked from the beginning until the final tournament. And it felt like they were just jerks and they were just antagonists because the story required them to be antagonists. And because of that, I did not feel that at the end they had earned their heel turn, because Johnny Lawrence at least looked at Kreese in a, what the hell are you talking about? I don't need to cheat to win. I can do this on my own. So did Bobby. Whereas no one from the Flying Dragon looked at new Kreese with that same kind of like, I don't have to do this. Even when he said to him, no mercy, homie was like, all right, let's do this. No mercy. And I never appreciated, other than the one guy that felt shame in what he did to Dre, anyone else having that heel turn moment. And that I felt kind of cheapened by that.
Yeah,
that's a good point. I like what you're saying there. Yeah, yeah, we didn't get that motivation like we did in the original. So,
not really. I mean, because I was wondering, why does this kid care that Dre is talking to this girl? And he said to her, Dre said to her, are you his girlfriend? And she said, no, our families know each other, which means something in China, but it doesn't really translate to like, so what? But then he said, but he likes you though, right? And she kind of smiled, which I think meant yes. So he had a crush on her, but it wasn't the same thing as this was his ex-girlfriend, like in Karate Kid. And that's one of the problems, right. The big other problem I have with this movie is just I think they originally wrote it for the same age kid as Daniel, 16 or whatever, high school age. But since Will Smith wanted to have his son do it, they had to de-age him and change the story to make the romance more innocent. And it doesn't have the same impact, like kind of what you were saying, Rima, about kids fighting feels just, that's not fun to watch. And then just when you're a teenager, you're like learning to drive, you're getting your independence, you're getting a girlfriend or a boyfriend, you're becoming an adult, and here you're just a little kid, and so it feels different. And I'm trying to just say, okay, didn't stop the comparison, just in and of itself, is it okay? And I'm like, yeah, it's okay, but back to the comparison, not as good for me.
Yeah.
Oh, I agree.
Totally. In fact, that was my point again, Rima. You keep stealing my point.
Sorry, Rich.
Rich and Rima just
keep
one mind.
My eyes on
one
my own
mind.
Paper. Apologies.
Yeah, maybe we watched the movie at the exact same time too. But yeah, my very first thought when the movie started was like, oh, these are proper kids. we got
kid actor, kid performance.
Yeah, we got so used to like 30-year-olds and 20-something-year-olds playing kids on the original movies in the series. I think having the older folk play teenagers allow for more maybe like a suspension of disbelief. You know, you don't mind so much when they're beating each other up and so on, knowing that they're in their 20s or whatever. But I definitely, don't get me wrong, appreciate the time and dedication. Those kids were pretty super talented, kung fu fighters and the coordinators and everybody that put all this effort into the fighting in the tournament, you know, was actually pretty incredulous. But yeah, it's hard to get into a bunch of 12-year-olds beating each other up. Plus, it's not that realistic. You know, I teach this age of kids, and usually when they fight, they're not strong enough to really do any damage, so they just don't punch and kick that hard.
Yeah. And I think too, they just, you can tell that they kind of reworked the script, because it still in a lot of ways plays as if the characters are more emotionally mature than they would be at that age. Mm-hmm. Don't you think, Rich?
Yeah, definitely. Like you, when you were talking earlier about how Dre was hurt and they're like, why do you want to keep fighting? Why do you want to keep fighting? He was very articulate on why he wanted to keep fighting. Most kids would just be like, oh no.
Cause.
You nailed that, Rich. Like you've heard that before.
Yeah. I had it done.
Etched into his brain. He dreams that. I had one about parallel moments and repeated from the OG Karate Kid, but I actually don't really want to go through all of these. And we already talked about a lot of them, but just a couple ones that maybe are interesting, you know, just like seeing a lot of the same setups and the maintenance man and, you know, just problem with the girl and all this. It's kind of funny now that, and even a lot of the same dialogue repeated, it's kind of funny that all these parallels happen now that this isn't just a remake but also in the same world as the original Karate Kid.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, these almost exact same things happened at different times in this world.
I can only hope that they do that with a wink and a nod. If they do make reference to the similarities, that'd be they cool. do it with a wink and a nod. Yeah. I hope so.
And I kind of wonder, I'm actually looking forward to seeing Mr. Han's character again, even though I had criticisms for him. I kind of wonder if Dre will show up. That'd be kind of cool.
Like I'll take Taraji P. Harrison. Give me Taraji instead. Make her be the connective tissue because
who's that?
His mom.
Mom.
Oh yeah, she was great.
She had some pretty great looks.
She's hot too.
The thing that bothered me with their usage of her was they made her drive 15 miles an hour the entire film. She's capable of so much more than they let her do.
Oh,
she
really?
Did not get a chance to cook. Oh my god,
she's a fantastic,
she is a phenomenal actress. Mm-hmm. And you could see the bones of a great performance, but tough dialogue. And again, she was probably the most carbon copy attempted character beat for beat from Mrs. LaRusso, but like in a more Detroit way. And I don't know. I thought they did not let her cook the way she could have. So I'd like her to get another chance.
What's her, she was in The Color Purple, right? What's her big thing that you know her from?
Girls Trip was phenomenal with Queen Latifah. She's really been all over in that world the last couple of years. I highly recommend checking out any of her stuff. Any of it is good.
Cool. I just, so a couple comparison things I do want to talk about. Instead of the three karate teaching techniques disguised as chores that Daniel got, there's just kind of one: picking up the jacket, hanging it up, putting it on, taking it off. And it played a little different because with Daniel, maybe Daniel thought this guy was just tricking him into doing chores. But with Dre, he thought that he was trying to teach him a lesson about being respectful to his mother. And, so that played a little different, but when he did reveal it, what it was, I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know, the whole sequence, it was impressive.
Did you know the entire concept of the jacket was Jackie Chan's idea of how to explain Kung Fu? That whole concept was his idea.
I mean, I was thinking, I betcha, because he seemed the most alive whenever there was Kung Fu involved.
Yes.
Other times I felt like he was sleeping through this damn movie. But my suspicion was that, he had a lot of creative direction in those scenes. And especially love what Jackie Chan does when he uses the environment against people. And wraps them up in their own clothes and stuff like that.
To rumble in the Bronx, Jackie.
Yeah. That's classic Jackie Chan.
Yes.
And I thought it was funny that he's a more ruthless teacher than Miyagi, like whacking Dre through the hanging sheet and stuff like that.
Yep.
That was kind of interesting.
Dre needed that though a little bit.
Yeah. And I liked that Dre went over and stood by Mr. Han after the tournament. That was the moment that I felt the most in the movie. I felt kind of choked up by that for some reason.
Yep.
It's pretty cool.
Same.
Yep.
Okay, Alex, you got any more?
Sure. Why does the violin subplot even exist? I feel like we all complained about this being 20 to 30 minutes too heavy. I appreciate the actress. She's no Allie. No one is, but she really didn't sell me on the meet cute. Like, I wasn't pulled into that story. I felt like even though it is a Karate Kid movie, again, they are 12 years old. Maybe we could have gotten rid of the whole love storyline. He could have just had an actual friend, and that friend's parents said he was a bad influence and that's why they couldn't hang out or something like that. But I thought the violence subplot, while awesome, was 20 to 30 minutes too long, and we could have replaced that with much better character building opportunities. I was against the violence subplot.
I like the violin music, though.
Yeah,
always fun. I love Bach. Like, you know, brought me right back to Dead City. It's just, it that to me is where the movie dragged the hardest. Yeah. Was during those scenes.
I think it was just so that the parents, you know, the well-to-do parents of a top-tier classical musician, can disapprove of, you know,
yeah,
their daughter going out with a kung fu student from Detroit who doesn't speak Chinese.
And then he never wears the right uniform to school.
A little bit of racism in there.
Speak Chinese to them to win them back. I mean, I like the storyline well enough, but the movie was too long. So if you're going to cut something out, maybe that would be what to cut out.
I think they could have cut some of it out. I think it was because it also, like I said, whenever I was talking about just being in the location, it gave us also a good picture of like life and how the culture is different. You know, yeah. So I think it gave, you know, a good, you know, just a good representation of the differences in culture there. But I do think some of it did drag on. But I think that is maybe what it was for. I don't know.
It's a thing for Chinese girls to like curly hair. Didn't you tell me a story, Jason, about them wanting to touch your hair?
Yes. Yeah. So I was in China for a month in 2009, and I went to Hong Kong first and then made my way west by train.
You could have been there while they were filming.
Chengdu.
Right?
That's right. Yeah. And then I went all the way to Beijing. And so I saw a lot of the same places, or some of the same places. It was really fun to see in this movie. But one thing, yeah, that reminded me of is when I was in, like most places, especially Beijing, where you see a lot of foreigners, people didn't give me a second look. But when I was in a more remote location, which was the highlight of the trip, by the way, I went to the Wolong National Panda Preserve or something, mm-hmm. and volunteered for 3 days, and I got to like feed these big pandas, and I got to scratch one behind the ears and everything. Nice. That was so much fun, and see these little like kindergarten pandas all playing in roughhousing together and mostly just laying around. But anyway, when I was there, I had my like worker uniform on, and there were tourists coming through, Chinese tourists, no Westerners. And these teenagers came up to me and they're like, can we take a picture with you? They couldn't speak English, but they, you know, with their camera and everything. And I felt like a celebrity and a freak at the same time. And I figured, you know, Chinese people, they see, unless you're in an area where Westerners come through, they see the same kind of hair everywhere.
Yeah.
So that's why, in the same, you know, it's all more homogenous there. So when you're different, it really stands out, especially that kind of hair. Yeah. So I think that's why.
Great.
Let me, just while I'm talking about that, so I recognize the Beijing airport, which is one of the biggest, most impressive airports I've ever seen, futuristic design. The Beijing National Stadium was, I don't know if you guys noticed, but it's this stadium that had all these, like, it looked like, they call it a bird's nest, crisscross design.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the 2008 Summer Olympics, a lot of that was there. The Forbidden City, where he went during his class visit with all the red buildings, and he touched the gold, whatever those bells or whatever. That's a huge imperial palace complex. It was the political and ceremonial center of China for almost 500 years, but now it's just a tourist site and a place for cultural events and stuff like that. So we went there.
They don't get to film there much. They don't allow filming there very often.
Yeah, I was wondering, you'd have to work with the Chinese government, and I'm sure they had to approve.
And this was the first movie filmed at the Forbidden City since 1974.
Oh, wow. Mm. They must have approved. I walked along the Great Wall, and it's so curvy. It's on mountains, and a lot of it's broken up, and it's a real hike, but we ziplined off of it, which was so cool.
Zipline off the Great Wall. That's awesome.
I went to, I think, the exact same Beijing street market where they have a bunch of weird exotic foods, and I ate some snake and a fried scorpion on a stick there. Weird seems
the to look on Rima's face right now.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, the snake was disgusting. The scorpion on a stick was actually pretty good. It just tastes like anything fried. But it's calling it weird seems derogatory, but I think even the vendors there know that the food is adventurous because like one guy had a big smile on his face. I'll never forget this as he yelled out, "Sheep testicles."
I'm always smiling when I yell that out.
They know that, you know, it's provocative. And then the peak experience was just the panda preserve, but that was an awesome trip.
Sounds like it.
All right. Where are we? I'm kind of lost.
Rima, maybe?
Rima, yeah.
Is it? Oh, golly.
Anything else? If you don't, it's okay.
I mean, this might fall more into like a note more mm-hmm. than like a full point. And we've talked about the fighting and the choreography, you know, already. And, you know, Rich and I have always been on the same page. You know, when we talk about mm-hmm. Cobra Kai, we always love those fight scenes. And those are always some big highlights for us. So that was definitely a highlight, I think, for me throughout the movie, was just really great choreography. And, you know, maybe it was just, you know, Karate Kid was, you know, like 1984, this was 2010, movie making was a little different, you've got different people, you know, directing and other people involved. So, you know, it's, I think, a lot better, I think, than the original, the choreography in this movie versus the original. You know, I think that you could tell that they took really, you know, some time, you know, to make sure that those fight scenes were really good. And the tournament, especially with exception, like you called out, Rich, where sometimes they didn't let you go through or you know, film that final sequence or the hit. And maybe that was because there were kids. It was a kids tournament. Maybe they were trying to make it less brutal, maybe, if you didn't actually see it land. I don't know the reasoning behind it. But that when we were talking about it, I'm like, oh, maybe that's why they didn't do that. So I don't know. But I thought the choreography was really great. You know, I think, you know, as we've mentioned, Kung Fu is a beautiful art form, and I think it's beautiful to watch. And I think the discipline, you know, that it took for these kids, and even Jaden, you know, maybe not the best actor in the movie or anything, but you could tell that kid worked really hard. Like whatever mm-hmm. training, you know, he had for the movie really shone through. And, you know, so I got to give him props for that. And I thought all of that was really great, except I didn't love his special move at the end. I felt like, I mean, it looked cool, but the problem that I had with it is that he didn't learn this from anywhere. It just kind of came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And the crane kick, you know, you can see Daniel throughout the Karate Kid, you know, because he sees Miyagi, right? He's doing that. And he's like, oh, that's, I want to do that. I want to learn that. And he tries so hard and he fails like all the time. And it's not until the end when he nails it. So that was a little out of place for me. It kind of took me out because I'm like, well, where did this come from? And I understand, yes, he was trying this whole, you know, modeling what he saw the lady in the mountain with the cobra do, but she didn't do that, you know? So I saw the beginning of it there and I'm like, okay, I can buy into that. But that flip or whatever that was, he didn't learn that. So that kind of took me out a little bit. I didn't love that, even though it looked really cool.
Yeah, so. The special move was really about the chi and the inner stillness. And then the kick was just kind of like a punctuation of it. But I know what you're saying. But when you're thinking about Karate Kid, it's the kick. That's the thing. But here the thing, I think, is A, getting back up again, even when you're hurt. And then B, just that self-possession, chi, focus, stillness, where it was sort of mesmerizing the other kid, kind of like the woman mesmerized the snake, so that then he could go in for the kill with whatever finishing move, you know?
Yeah.
But still, yeah.
I got that part. It was just that actual finishing move that took me out. Like that just, I'm like, where did that come from? We didn't, I would have loved to have seen a build nitpick. Up. Yeah.
Yes. I had that nitpick. I wasn't quite sure. Like, where did this? Yes. No.
Yeah.
I mean, the same reaction.
That's what I think on almost every episode of Cobra Kai when you see these kids flipping around and it's like, Daniel's not doing any of that. Come on.
Well, that's fair. Yeah.
And this one was worse. I mean, nothing about it made any sense. Not where it came from, not the kick itself. I mean, you know, incredibly difficult it is to get that kind of height. He does it off of one leg and then he flips and then he kicks the other kid, but his head goes one way and his body falls the opposite direction. I'm like, the physics don't even work on this. What the hell? It was just awkward all the way around.
It's dramatic.
Yes.
I would have walked out at that point. Yeah. I was watching that movie. Well, that was the end. So
what? It sure was.
This movie is bullshit.
I'm not watching the rest of this. Okay, Rich. Got any more?
Well, my last point was Mr. Han, but we pretty much killed that one. That's everything we said before. I liked it. I liked Jackie Chan's portrayal of Mr. Han. You know, and in fact, actually, the only time I felt any emotion in this movie was when he was smashing his car and mourning his deceased family. I actually got a little bit of the feels in there. You know, I did think he was overacting a bit, but Jaden did well in those scenes too. I think we did mention
yes.
this, but
yeah.
probably yes. because he wasn't talking that much, but he did good. He was there.
Jaden has a very specific lane, and it works. Like the ping pong scene, that works for him. Both braggadocious yet also humble, yeah. a little bit self-depreciating, yeah. but charming. Like, and I thought, and I'm gonna blame Will for trying to make this a star vehicle for Jaden. Like, it was a disservice because they could have leaned into what makes him magnetic so much more, and instead they wanted to make him some movie star, which he's not. He's a great yeah. sidekick. And he's great comic relief. And if he were to lean into that, I think he could have been a very, very successful character actor like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I agree. His acting is pretty compartmentalized. You know, I think that's because of yes. all the direction he's getting from multiple sources, probably. It's like, okay, this is where, Dre, you're going to have that constant look of deriding confusion. Okay, one more time. You got a little old.
All right, Dre, you're annoyed here. Now pick up your jacket for the 900th time. Yeah. Thank you.
Now say something smart ass. Okay.
All right, that landed nice.
I wanted to talk just a little bit about kung fu and karate, some differences between karate and kung fu.
Cool, because I was hoping you could.
Just a little. Karate was developed over the last 600 years or so, since the 14th century in Okinawa, you know, like Miyagi says, Japan, but specifically Okinawa, which is an island in Japan, but it has its own culture. Kung Fu traces back over 2,000 years, so it's much older. Karate was influenced by indigenous Okinawan martial arts and Chinese martial arts. And as we know, its style emphasizes linear movements, direct strikes, and powerful punches and kicks. And it focuses on discipline forms like kata and defensive techniques, and it's often practiced in a rigid, structured way with strong stances. Kung Fu, thousands of years old, developed from various regional fighting styles and influenced by philosophy like Taoism and Buddhism. Styles are broad and diverse with hundreds of different styles I read, like Shaolin, Wing Chun, Tai Chi. Nikko and Bodhi study Choi Le Foot, which has a lot of circular movements and is focused, I guess it was developed on the battlefield because it's focused on taking out multiple enemy opponents at once, fighting multiple opponents. Anyway, Kung Fu is often features fluid circular movements and animal-based techniques, and it can be hard and forceful or soft and internal or energy based, which I guess that's why they brought that into this movie, which was one of my favorite things about it. So that's just a kind of broad overview, I guess.
That's interesting.
That is interesting. I like that.
But ever since I saw The Matrix, that the Kung Fu in that was so cool.
Yeah.
Which style? Yeah, I think that was Wing Chun.
I watched a Bruce Lee movie once whenever I was a kid, and I just I instantly became a fan. I thought he was just amazing. So that's whenever that was my first love of like anything to do with martial arts, was watching Bruce Lee and, you know, learning a little of his philosophy. So
remember when he fought Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, like the basketball player? Like literally Bruce Lee came up to just like his belly button.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Kung Fu, and they made it look good. Like that would have been a really awkward fight, but they managed to make it look good.
You know,
I found a way.
I've never seen a Bruce Lee movie. Isn't that awful?
What?
I've seen clips. Like I've seen that fight with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Enter the Dragon.
I've never seen a whole one. Yeah, I need to watch Enter the Dragon. And he's from San Francisco where I live, or he, you know, spent a lot of time here. And
yeah.
So yeah, I gotta get it.
There was a pretty cool documentary on Bruce Lee. I saw it not too long ago. He was so busy at some point, he would wear these like electroshock things on his chest, and they would make his muscles contract while he was sitting there typing a telescript or something. And that's how he worked out at the end.
Yeah. That's dedication.
Yeah.
Sounds like The Rock.
He had like 1.5% body fat or something ridiculous.
Yeah.
He was so amazing. Are we ready for notes?
So I have one more point.
Go for it.
I do. Yeah, so I feel like there's two different movies inside of this movie. And, you know, while watching a lot of the most recent Marvel Universe and like Daredevil Born Again, you can see the two different movies or two different shows inside of that show. Same with Captain America. You can see kind of where there were multiple storylines that they stitched together and put together. And I feel the same way with this movie. The two biggest things that I point to about that is, number one, they really make it a point of highlighting that when they're at the Forbidden City on the bus home, the teacher notices that something's going on with Dre and even kind of notices that he's getting bullied on the bus and the boys don't go any further. At the same time, I feel like there's a lot of attention and a lot of purpose given to the violin instructor for literally zero payoff whatsoever. He is a bit more of a fleshed out character than just an extra, but for absolutely no reason whatsoever. And mm-hmm. I can't help but feel like there was another movie that maybe was a little bit better than this one, but that they clipped parts out of and then retconned other pieces into to try and make it that vehicle. And like, I don't know. I couldn't not see that when I was watching it today.
Hmm. Good point. I read that the version they showed in China was heavily edited to make Dre look like the bad guy.
That is correct.
No way.
Yeah. Which I want to see that cut. I want to see that cut.
And the other kid,
Chang.
Dre's the bully and Chang's.
Yeah, I think it said specifically it was edited so that Dre, it looked like Dre started most of the confrontations.
Outstanding. Yeah. Sounds about
wow,
right. Wow. I know.
Incredible. God, I hate our world sometimes. You have to do that.
Amen.
Kind of thing. All right. Let's go into notes.
Sweet. Well, we've talked about most of them, but the only one left that I have that we hadn't, and Alex was just talking about like this introduction to that violin teacher, you know, and it was kind of like there was, you know, it didn't go anywhere, really go anywhere. They kind of focused on a bit. It just, there was like no payoff. So that reminds me, like, what happened to that one kid in the beginning of the movie that befriended Dre, that blonde-headed boy who, when they got arrived at the apartments and he's like, hey, you know, you can play basketball, and they're all over there, you know, like hanging out, and it's like this new friend. And then all of a sudden you just never saw that kid ever again.
Which is a tradition in the Karate Kids movie, because the same thing happened to Daniel. He got to the apartment building, yeah. Rosita met that kid, went Freddy. To the beach, didn't see him again. Freddy, yes, the meatpacking company.
With Freddy, at least, I never liked this about Karate Kid, but when Daniel and Johnny, you know, fight, and well, sort of, basically Johnny kicks the shit out of him, but then his friend Freddy's like goes up to him, and then one of his friends goes, "You sure picked a cool kid to be friends with."
Yeah.
And it's like,
they explain his disappearance.
That is fucked up, man. This kid just got, he needs an ambulance. But it seemed like he just, for some reason, didn't like him anymore after that. I don't know.
No, it was just like, where'd that kid go? Like, he doesn't have any friends at all, or mm-hmm.
right?
No, just kind
he's
of
like,
sad.
Hey, I met a girl. Sorry, guy. Sorry, buddy. I'm busy. So
story of life.
I did notice that the blonde friend was sitting with his mom at the tournament. I will say that.
Yeah.
But you're right. The entire middle of the movie, he didn't exist.
Yeah.
And I guess he's a good enough friend now that he goes and supports him at tournaments. So I feel you. I'm
I think
up
Freddie was at the tournament too, but not as Daniel's okay. friend, just because,
I mean, Jason,
the karate
it was the all valley.
The Everyone biggest thing everywhere. Yeah. The whole town. What else?
That's all I have. We've covered all of my other points. So in notes.
Rich?
So good to go.
Yeah. Same with me. I liked that there was a Star Wars reference. That was pretty cool.
That was nice.
Force. Yep.
That was
always nice. A good thing.
You're like I'm like the Padawan. Or no, I have the Force. When he's talking about the
what
chi.
If there was a Star Wars reference on a Star Trek TV show? Would you like that?
Yeah. And vice versa.
Merge the worlds.
Yes, when Picard's talking midichlorians.
Strange That's New great. Worlds next season's coming out pretty soon, I think.
Nice.
Yeah.
Looking forward to that.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. The only other thing was, and I'm embarrassed to say this, but I know you said it already, Jason, was like only about halfway through the movie did it occur to me, hey, they should have called this Kung Fu Kid. I was a little slow on that, but I got there.
When Dre sort of shanghaied Mei Ying for this day of fun, that was a cute sequence. Although maybe her dance was a little too provocative. I don't know. Maybe I'm just being
for 12 years old. I'd agree with that. Yeah.
No. You should see what the kids do.
I don't want to.
They're practically twerking. 12-year-olds. I'm telling you.
But then when, you know, they get to the audition and she kind of gives Dre and her give each other a look, and then you see her father talking to her, and then she comes over and says, "We can no longer be friends. You are bad for my life." I'm like, ouch, man. Maybe
tough.
You could at least say, "My dad says you're bad for my life."
That was harsh.
Yeah, straight to the point.
That was tough.
No pillow talk, baby.
What else? When Dre's mom kept yelling at him for not picking up his jacket, I was like, dude, my kids have crap all over the place, plates of food in their room, electronics with dead batteries they don't bother plugging back in. If they just left their jackets on the floor, I would be so happy.
If I have to step on another Bratz or Barbie accessory, I will lift. Yeah, when she was complaining about the jacket, I was like, to be so simple.
Alex doesn't even have kids, so... I'm just kidding.
That's a great point. You know, we all have hobbies, Jason. I'm not here to yuck another person's yum. It's okay.
We listen and we don't judge.
Don't step on a Lego. Don't judge.
Pick those up, man. Just kidding. I don't know if you guys care, but there's pictures of this Chinese official. Did you notice that? Up like big giant picture. That's Mao. You may have heard that name.
On the billboard.
Yeah. He's the founding father of the Communist Chinese Party.
Yeah.
Chinese
I didn't notice party. That.
And he's a controversial figure because his policies led to millions of people dying of starvation, but he's also sort of a symbol of the enduring authority of the Communist Party. So you still see his picture everywhere.
Huh.
Jaden Smith, he rapped in the Justin Bieber song Never Say Never at the end. And
that's why I was in the end. Okay.
And I guess he's around 27 now, and he's a singer and a rapper, and I listened to a couple of his songs and I thought they were pretty good. So
does he have to cuss to sell records? Because his dad didn't.
I didn't hear any, but one of the raps in this song at the end said something about, no pun intended, but I'm a child of, what did you say? Force of will or something like that. So that was kind of cool.
I can dig that. Mm-hmm.
So that's all my notes. Do you have any notes, Alex?
I got a couple. Cool. This movie really nailed what it's like when you try to close your eyes and your kid won't shut up on a road trip. I thought that was just a perfect encapsulation.
Why you have so many questions?
The tagline.
So many. Some really great 2010 Neil drop moments. Say what you need to say. Bieber at the end, and of course, Apple Bottom Jeans really took me to a specific time period in my life.
Oh yeah,
that was something. My biggest gripe: would his school have let Dre come to school and go on field trips while out of uniform? I feel like by the second day of no uniform, that's never happening again. So as a Catholic school survivor, man, there's no way he would have gotten that wrong that many times and still been able to have as much fun as he did. Watching Jackie Chan draw out the symbol for chi on the train was so cool. Just watching him draw it, I don't know, it was like calligraphy. It was very nice. And my last one, when Dre, after he throws the air conditioner water and he's running through the streets and the boys are chasing after him, it just brought me back to The Office and the episode where Michael and Andy and Dwight were doing parkour. And I really appreciated that.
I had the parkour.
It was amazing. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. I do have one more. Did anyone else? I think there was an homage to Back to the Future in this movie. There was one scene where Dre was on his skateboard. He hopped onto the back of a cart and then the back of a car to get
going through the streets. Yeah.
And I really think, especially after having seen what happened at the end of Cobra Kai, I do think that was a weird little homage to that movie.
Interesting. Because I saw that and I'm like, did Daniel do that? Because he was on a bike. Was he on a skateboard? I'm like, no. Now I know it was Michael J. Fox that did it.
Yeah. Oh, and I keep lying. I keep having more points. I swear to God, this is my last one. The evil sensei, okay? I couldn't get over the fact that he looked like an exact combination. Yeah, new crease. Exact combination of Kyle Chandler from Friday Night Lights and Ron Livingston from Office Space. If you combine those two guys, it was new crease, and it bugged me out the whole movie.
They had a baby.
Oh, gosh.
Well, one thing, you called the water that Dre threw on them air conditioner water, and it just made it seem even way worse.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Speaking of water, did anyone else catch that Dre walked the entire way up a mountain and then submerged his entire sweaty face in the pool of pristine water?
Yeah. In the magic kung fu water.
Yeah. I would have been like, get your face out of the water. What are you doing?
Besmirched the magic kung fu water. Yeah.
Yes. That's it for me. I am 90% sure that's my last note this time.
Good notes.
All right. We won't even take a break because we just have a couple messages here of feedback. Rich, you want to read the first one?
Sure. Stacy Metcalf writes, I loved the original and Ralph. Like, really loved Ralph. Cut out every movie advertisement in the newspaper. Yep, the newspaper. Mm-hmm. However, I didn't hate this reboot, but like most remakes from our Gen X life, we did it better.
Yeah. I agree. And Ralph was, Stacy must have been at that age when Ralph was on the cover of every teen magazine.
He was a hottie.
Was?
Yes, was.
Oh, he could get it.
Rima?
Misty writes in and says, hi, I really enjoy listening to this great podcast. I'm sad to see that Cobra Kai has come to an end. It was a fun ride. I would love to hear everyone's thoughts on the Karate Kid Legends movie when it comes out. I'm hoping my favorite actor, William Zabka, makes a cameo in this movie. He was excellent as Johnny in Cobra Kai, so it would be very cool if he makes an appearance. I also totally agree that he is in great shape, especially for his age. William Zabka is 59 years old and turns 60 in October. I hope we see him in more stuff in the future. Keep up with the great podcast. Have a great day. That's nice. Hope you do too.
We are going to cover that. And I don't think William Zabka is going to be in it. I really don't, because they started developing it, I think, even before Cobra Kai started or something. It wasn't connected. And from what I can gather, the most that they've done is just try to make sure that it doesn't contradict anything in Cobra Kai. But other than that, and Daniel being in it, I don't think there's going to be much connective tissue. I'd be happy to be wrong about that, but I just sort of want to set everyone and my own expectations. And I'm also hearing a lot of some buzz, because there was like a screening or something, that it's okay.
Oh, really?
You know, yeah, that it's sort of the same story told again.
It's Spider-Man. It's the third iteration of Spider-Man, essentially. You know, we've had our Toby, we've had our Andrew Garfield, now we get our Tom Holland, which, hey, if this is our Tom Holland, that's not too bad.
That would be better than in my book.
Yeah, that'd be way better. I haven't, have y'all seen the trailer for...
It looked cool.
I haven't. It looks good. Really cool.
I mean,
I've managed to stay away.
I don't think it's spoilery, because obviously we know where there's going to be some fighting in the movie, right? There's going to be some
martial
arts. Is there
karate in this movie?
But there is. I don't know if it's kung fu. I don't know if it's karate. I don't want to get
in that
debate.
If there's not.
They're going to bring Hapkido into it and just throw everybody out.
Yeah, totally.
Rich is going to be so miserable if there's no fighting.
Just two people standing there.
Just
it's,
those clips.
I heard it's mostly, what's that one that they do in the park? Tai Chi. It's mostly Tai Chi. Tai Chi Kid. That's when Daniel turns 80. It's going to be.
Just based on the fighting parts that I've seen, that alone, I'm like, okay, that might make it worth it. You know, I don't know how good the story will be. Hopefully it's not trash. Yeah. Hopefully they'll do a good, you know, weaving of, you know, the original Karate Kid and this reboot that they did. I don't know. I haven't tried to look too deep into what people are saying, but I'm like, well, I kind of like the choreography and the fighting, so that'll make it worth it.
Yeah, I'm just trying to keep my expectations down, but we're gonna talk about it no matter what, so we'll see.
For better or worse, we'll talk about it.
That'll be we got to do. It's one more thing to do. All All right, that is our show. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Alex, thank you for coming on. That was really fun.
Yeah, yeah, thanks, Alex.
Thanks for being on. Here.
Great.
My pleasure. It was a dream come true. So here we are. It
was nice. Sweet. Well, next episode, as we mentioned, the brand new Karate Kid movie starring Jackie Chan and Ralph Macchio, Karate Kid Legends, in theaters in a few days on Friday, May 30th. So go check it out. When are we recording? I don't even remember. I think Wednesday. Yeah, so.
Not this Wednesday, the next.
Yeah, the next one after it, mm-hmm. Yeah, it comes out.
If you want to write in or send us a voice message about it, you can find all our contact information at podcastica.com.
And while you're there, please check out our other podcasts.
Yeah, a couple ones I wanted to mention. First, of course, Walking Dead, Dead City on the Cast of Us, which Alex is co-hosting with Ben. How's that been going?
Super fun. So I love this show. In all of its campy goodness, it is what it is. And I don't want it to apologize. Let it be what it is. It's a fun show. I'm having a blast. It's always fun podcasting with Ben. So keep the feedback coming. Even if you hate it, that's okay. You're allowed to hate things and still watch them. That's how we get the Real Housewives.
That's great. Yeah, that's a good way to describe it, because I finally got around to watching the first episode of the season, and I'll spoil one thing. Sorry, everyone, but Negan's bat now has like a taser in it or something.
Yeah.
So it can't be.
I'm not a fan of New Seal. New Seal and I do not get along yet. I'm not in love with it.
The other one I wanted to mention, because Strange Indeed has kind of been on a break for a while, but you guys are now back with the final season of the Netflix show You, right?
Yes, that's right. The fifth and how's final. How's that been? You know, if you've watched the show in its previous seasons and you've got that history, then you know it's just a crazy wild ride. So it's mm-hmm. it's a lot of the same things, but it's still I feel like has some freshness to it, you know, because there's always different characters each season that kind of keep it fresh and interesting. And you know, they've added Anna Camp to the season, and if you've seen,
she's great.
Isn't she just fantastic? I mean,
True Blood, right?
She's Ock-amazing.
She is Ock-amazing. So she's been an absolutely just joy to watch this season. But you know, just It's been really great. Been great covering with Paik, and we're having a really good time with it. We're about halfway through, getting ready to go into the second half, and it's been a lot of fun. So, yeah, check us out.
That's cool. That's a great series.
It's mm-hmm. fun. It's, you know, kind of like you just watch it. It's just fun.
All right. That is our show.
Thanks for listening.
And pick up your jacket.
Okay, now drop it.
Put it on hanger.
Put it on. Take it off.
With attitude.
With attitude.
Don't make face.
You can't rely on blind faith to get the pregnancy support you deserve. Ritual's Essential Prenatal Multivitamin is the only leading prenatal backed by its own human clinical trial. Essential Prenatal is proven to deliver key nutrients, including folate, biotin, and vitamin D during pregnancy. Get 25% off when you visit ritual.com/clinical. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.